This is the Urban Political,
the podcast on urban theory, research, and activism.
Welcome to the Urban Political. In this episode, we are focusing on Berlin and the recent decision by the Federal Constitutional Court to overturn the so-called Mietendeckel, a type of rent control legislation implemented at the Berlin state level. This was a controversial decision with many implications for housing politics in the city and beyond. So our guest today is André Hohm, who is a sociologist at the Humboldt University of Berlin and a well-known housing activist in the city. So I'll turn to you, André. Could you tell us what this rent cap, how this rent cap works and what its effects were until it was overturned by the Federal Constitutional Court?
Yeah, at first, thank you for inviting me to the discussion in the Urban Political podcast. And I'm really happy so that we have the opportunity to discuss the question of Mietendeckel and all the political conflicts around it. The Mietendeckel, the rent cap in Berlin, was an answer of the red-red-green government to the really strong rent increase during the last 10 or 12 years in Berlin. So that maybe is necessary to say, though, that Berlin was in the last decade the city with the strongest rent increase of all German cities. And between 2009-2018, the rent price level rose for the ongoing rental agreements by 40% and for new contracts by nearly 80-90%. So that means at least that especially new contracts for new Berliners, for households want to move into another flat, they had to pay the double of the price they paid before in their old flat. And as an answer to this strong rent increases in Berlin, the red-red-green government decided in 2019 or started in 2019 a discussion to implement an rent control instrument and rent cap based on a local law or of a law by the state of Berlin. And this was disputed by legal experts from the beginning on because the question of competence was discussed. Is rent regulation and federal law or nationwide competence? This was one question, but no doubt it was a quite necessary instrument to stop the rent increase and to protect tenants in Berlin for displacement and rent increase, at least. And the effect of the rent cap was at least or could describe with the three core elements of this Berlin's rent cap decision or this Berlin's rent cap law. At first, the rent cap stopped all rent increases for the next 5 years. So this was one element of the rent cap. The second element was that the law defined a kind of maximum rent price for new contracts. And this maximum rent price for new contracts were based more or less on the average local rent level. And this was a quite good protection for displacement pressure because there was no longer a strong gap between existing rent levels and ongoing agreements and this new rent prices in new contracts. And a third element of the rent cap was a kind of reduction of excessive high rent prices. And this third element starts not from the beginning on by implementing the rent cap law, but were activated in the November 2020. And since November 2020, excessive high rent prices have to reduced to a average level, and at least the three elements protect tenants in ongoing rental agreements for rent increase, but also try to provide affordable housing also for households looking for new contracts in Berlin.
So just thanks for that, Andre. Just so summarizing then, in the year or so that it was in place and in effect, the Mietendeckel, or this rent control legislation, it would be fair to say it taken some of the heat out of the housing market, the rental market, and it already had concrete benefits for renters in terms of their rents coming down.
Yeah, it's a good question. At least Berlin is quite obvious in tenant city. So more than 80% of all households live in tenancy in rental flats at least, and the rent cap applied their rules for around 1.5 million rental apartments in Berlin. So that this means for the strong majority of all housing were protected or affected by the rent cap law. And for all of these 1.5 million rental apartments, the stop of rent increases was applied or cured, and additional we had the second element of the rent cap law, the lowering of new contracts, and during the last year we have estimations that around 100,000 new contracts contracted under the conditions of the rent cap to lower rent prices than the market price. And in the last stage of the rent cap, in terms of this reduction of excessive high rent prices, we have only data estimating the number of households using this opportunity, and this estimations ranging from 250,000 to 350,000 dwellings, and at least around 400,000 households reduced their rent price with the help of the rent cap law. And on the other hand, this 400,000 households are confronted now with claims for back paying of the reduced rents by their landlords after the decision of the court.
Thanks, Andre. So before we go a little bit into the decision itself to implement, and then the ultimate legal decision to overturn it, perhaps it's useful to put this legislation into international context. How does it compare to other pieces of legislation trying to take the heat out of housing markets? Are there comparable cases around the world? What's the relation of the Mietendeckel to other places?
Now, looking back in the history of housing, so we know that rental price regulations is a quite typical and usual instrument of housing policies, and we have a long history of rent price regulations in Western European cities since the 1920s. We know it from many North American cities with rent regulations or rent-regulated housing. And the typical instruments of rent regulation is this temporary capping of rent increases, so but also is being part of the rent cap law in Berlin, and also the setting of a maximum rent for new contracts is the usual mechanism. Berlin's rent cap law differs in two aspects. So the first difference is so that this maximum rent price for new contracts counts for all housing. So and compare, for example, for rent regulations in US American cities, we know this instrument of maximum rent for new contracts, but mostly for a specific part of the whole housing market. But in Berlin, this instrument was used for the whole housing market. And a second difference is that Berlin's rent cap law includes the opportunity to reduce the extremely high rents in current contracts. And this reduction of rent price in current contractual relations, this is really a special feature of Berlin's rent cap so far. And to sum up this argument, I would say so that rent regulation at all, this is not specific for Berlin, but kind of defining the conditions of the rent cap differs from many other instruments we know from other cities and countries.
Thank you, André. Could you give us some context of the social and political struggles that have eventually led to the rent cap being implemented? So tell us a bit about the urban and housing movements that have arisen, and what their arguments were, and what the political discussions around this instrument were that mm-hmm. have eventually shaped the outcome.
Yeah, it's a quite good question, because it starts from the point so that housing politics, housing policies are not only defined by administrations and government, but are a result of political struggles and discussions in the public. And for the rent cap in Berlin, I would say that is has three sources. So the first resource of the rent cap law is still the fact of this strong rent increase, so that there was a need to find an answer, and this need for an answer on rent increase was visible in political discussions, in media articles and newspapers, but as well really in the presence of a tenant grassroots movement in Berlin, and this grassroots movement, this tenant movement in Berlin, and forcing rent control and affordable housing in Berlin since many years is the second source of this instrument, and especially the tenant movement claims for many years so that the rent prices are too high, or that that it's necessary to prioritize the social and human needs instead of profit and calculation in the housing sector. And at least they produced the kind of political pressure to react on the side of government and administration. And the third precondition for the rent cap law, beyond this pressure by facts and the pressure by movements, was the political constellation of this progressive government in the red-red-green coalition by the Social Democrats, the Greens, and the left parties. And they promised in 2016, when they came in power, that they want to solve the housing question and that they want to support the housing political movement in many cases. And based on this constellation, it was possible to introduce this really strong rent regulation by the rent cap law. Interesting is that also the campaign to expropriate big housing companies was a kind of push factor for the rent cap discussion, and especially as because it produced a kind of pressure to the government to adopt an far-reaching measure to demonstrate that the government is able to solve the housing question and to demonstrate the housing political agency. And in particular, the Social Democrats in the government of Berlin and they are clearly opposed to the expropriation campaign. They justified in statements and interviews the support for the rent cap by the argument to show that no radical change is necessary, and they understood the radical change as this expropriation of housing stock of big companies, but in the same time they introduced one of the most radical rent regulation law in the history, and this also shows or highlights that the housing political debates and demands in Berlin changed into a very radical way into a situation in which a strong rent cap was seen as a milder instrument than all the other claims are in discussion here in Berlin. And so far, it's also interesting to see that the general discourse on housing and housing policy is strongly progressive and include a lot of really transformative claims.
Andrew, just following up on that. So obviously there were lots of campaigns. There was a movement around housing or movements around housing, and then there was the constellation of the red-red-green coalition in Berlin. There was obviously a campaign against it. Who was involved in that, and how strong and how fierce was that campaign against the Mietendeckel?
Yeah, it was not really surprising so that the introducing or in that introducing and rent cap with an element of reducing rent prices will be produced a lot of opponents on the other side, and it's at least so clear in the question of housing, so that on the one hand the social interests, the social needs of tenants, and on the other hand the economic expectations of landlords are cannot be balanced out in a fair way. So if you increased your rental income as a landlord, then your tenant have to pay much more than he want or can. And on the other hand, if you cap rent prices to protect tenants and to provide affordable housing in private rental market, then it will reduce the rental income and the economic effort for landlords, and therefore many of the landlords and also the lobby groups of landlords mobilized against the rent cap since the government introduced the idea to implement such an instrument in Berlin. And at least more or less all kinds of landlords were part of this campaigns against the rent cap. On the one hand, we had this big housing companies, private as well as public housing companies, and their main argument was that this rent price reductions and the stop of rent increases will reduce the income from renting rent prices in their housing stock, and because of this reduction of income and profit, there will be not enough money to invest into modernizations of existing housing stock and into new constructions. And so the first argument against the rent cap law was that this will be reduced the investment capacities of big housing companies in Berlin. And so it was a controversial discussion. Should we protect the tenants in their existing rent contracts, or should we spend as much money as we can into new construction to increase the housing stock and then to provide more people with housing in Berlin? So this is the first group, the big housing companies, public and private. And second group, really active in this discussion, are the small and single landlords. They are not so strongly organized in lobby organizations, but presented by the organization Haus und Grund, but also quite active in a lot of social media discussions and debates, and also present in newspapers and giving interviews to magazines and also in radio and TV shows. They are quite present, and the main argument of this small landlords, mostly natural persons owning one house or some flats in a house with their main argument was that they invested into this real estate housing stock with a hope to finance the situation when they are going in pension and didn't have an income from work, and their argument was the rent cap will destroy this system to secure my future income, and so it will be increase the number of poverty by elderly people and so on. And of course this argument is not really strong because we know from many social demographic data that homeowners renting out, also the private homeowners, private landlords, also the small private landlords, mostly are in higher income groups and at least a high income or high amount of money is a precondition to become a small landlord, and therefore this poverty risks are not really proved by reality, but they were quite active in the discussion, and they also pointed out that the rent cap is a kind of violation against the freedom, of landlords and property, because they didn't accept that the state will define what the maximum rent price is instead of the market. So this is the second group, and a third group quite active in the discussion, and this was surprising for many of the activists and tenant movement, where the co-op housing in Berlin, Berlin's housing structure has or includes around 10% of the housing stock by really large but many as well many small housing cooperatives with at all more than 180,000 housing units, and the rent cap was also applied for this co-op housing stock, and the especially the large housing corporations intervened into the public discussion around the rent cap law, and they argued at first, and this is similar to the large housing companies, that a rent cap will reduce their rental income and therefore will reduce their capacities for new constructions and modernizations. But on the other hand, it was quite visible that especially the co-op housing sector with a identity of self-managing their housing stocks, that they are also struggling on a general level with a rent cap law, and this more general level of this conflict was that they argued that this rent cap seems to reduce the independency of co-op housing at least. So and especially in the history of Berlin's co-op housing, they argued that we had especially during the Nazi time, but partly also during the time of the GDR, the experience of the reduction of independency and but we survived, and now the red green Senate came and want to regulate the rent prices in cooperatives. So and this was a really surprising intervention, and it was. But there was no way of an common debate to exchange positions and to find a common position between the tenant movement and the co-op sector, and also not between the government and the co-ops. And at least this is quite negative by effect of the discussion during the last years, because I'm wish that the co-op housing sector will be a part of the progress aggressive housing policies in Berlin. And I think it's obvious that the co-op housing already provide many households with affordable housing, and there is a need for good cooperation between this segment of housing market and the red-green government, and there's a lot of conflicts unsolved since this discussion with around the rent cap in Berlin.
So let's move to this recent decision by the Federal Constitutional Court that overturned the rent cap. I believe it was last Wednesday, April 14. Could you tell us a bit about the decision and maybe also what role the opposition that you just mentioned played in this?
Mm-hmm. Now, the decision in the last week by the second Senate of the Germany's Federal Constitutional Court was that the judges there declared at first, and this was the most visible result, so that the rent cap law in Berlin is inadmissible. So they overturned it. And the main argument was that Berlin, as a federal state, did not have the regulatory competence to decide for rent cap law. So this is a result. The law case itself was started by a parliamentary group of the German parliament, Deutscher Bundestag, with a lawsuit signed by 284 members of the Christian Democrat parliamentary group and the liberals in Berlin, and most of all parliamentarians from the conservatives and the liberals signed this law case and pushed the judges in Karlsruhe to decide about this question. And at least the judges argued in so I'm not a professor in legal studies or whatever, so but what I understood was that the main argument of the judges was at first that the national state has already conclusively regulated the question of rent prices, and therefore there is no need for additional law. And a second point, and this was the most disputed aspect of the rent cap law in this constitutional discussion, was, is Berlin, or has Berlin the competence to decide about it? And in this questions, the judges answered in their rule was at first that yes, the federal the Bundesländer, the federal states like Berlin has the competence for the so-named housing competence title. That means in general, this is what also the judges in Karlsruhe declared last week. In general, yes, federal states has the competence to decide in the housing sector, but there is a lack of competence, especially for the so-named, I quote the judges, the unattached apartments. And with unattached apartments, they mean the housing stock running and managed by private landlords. So, and especially this part of the housing sector is not being part of the competence title for housing. And I did not really understand how this position would be explained. So, and also in some comments after the decision, some colleagues from the legal department here in Berlin also didn't understand the way of argumentation. So, but regardless of this difficult to understand reasoning, at least the Federal Constitutional Court has declared the rent cap in Berlin invalid, and therefore I understood so far that it doesn't make sense to discuss the way how in which the court decided, but we have now to deal with a result, and the result is clear that the federal court didn't see a competence of federal states to regulate private managed housing, but this court decision not include a general overturning of a rent cap in general. It's only questioned the competence to decide on such a question, and the first reactions from tenant organizations and from many parties here in Berlin and also from some unions and other social organization was that if the federal constitutional court in Karlsruhe didn't allow a federal state to regulate private rent prices in terms of this rent cap law, then the national state should do this, and so the claim or the demand since last Thursday is that the German Bundestag, the German parliament, should decide for such a rent cap law to enable the using of such a law in cities like Berlin.
So, Andre, I think you may have mentioned this, touched on this already. So the immediate consequences of this overturning of the Mietendeckel has been a return to pre-Mietendeckel prices. So the consequences already hitting renters at the moment, are they? And perhaps going on from there, we can start to think about how this situation and what you think should happen as we move forward in after the decision.
Of course, in the one hand, this decision turns the housing policy clock back to the conditions before the rent regulations by the Berlin's rent caps. This means the new and old normal is that we will have rent increases in ongoing contracts. We will excessively high rent prices for new housing offers and growing displacement pressure in many neighborhoods. So there is an additional problem with a decision in Karlsruhe at the Constitutional Court, because around 400,000 tenants in Berlin are confronted with possible demands from their landlords, and we know that one day after the decision, the first landlord sent some letters or claimed a kind of back payment for this household used the rent decrease in the last months, and especially for households with low income, when they are not able to give the whole back payment money in one time to the landlord, that they had the risk of threatened with eviction and of falling into individual debt or household debt. So and therefore it's quite necessary that the government in Berlin and the administrations protect these tenants for eviction and individual debt dynamics. And yesterday, I guess the Senate of Berlin, the government in the federal state of Berlin, decided for a kind of fund to protect tenants, a kind of emergency fund to take the back payment claims by the state. But I didn't have enough time to read the detailed conditions for which kind of households this support will open and to what kind of conditions the state will use this emergency funds. But this is quite a necessary reaction on the decision in Karlsruhe. And the second political reaction was that the left party, I guess, presented in the national parliament, in the Deutsche Bundestag, the proposal for national-wide rent cap law. But of course, there was a discussion, but it is clear that there is actually no majority in the parliament for such a proposal.
All of this sounds like a major defeat, at least momentarily, for red-green in Berlin. So what do you think is the way forward, both on the part of the political parties as well as the tenant movements and other urban movements that have pushed for this rent cap and the regulation of the housing market?
No, I don't see it quite as a defeat or failure of the red-green housing policy. So because looking back into the last 10 years, it was quite clear that we need additional instruments to protect tenants from rent increases and displacement. And this was also clear that there is a strong need to regulate private managed housing, the private managed housing stock. So, yeah, because more than 60% of all housing are in the hand of private landlords, and it was quite clear that the national federal law on housing didn't protect Berlin's tenants by this rent increase, and therefore it was necessary to try and to use new instruments, and it's not so unusual that the Constitutional Court decide against new laws, and this at least is part of the democratic procedure in Germany. For me, the Senate and the Red-Red-Green coalition should demonstrate that they really wanted this kind of rent regulation, and they can demonstrate their own strategy by implementing the rent cap conditions for the public housing stock, at least then. In Berlin, we have more than 300,000 housing managed by public housing companies. And one way to go forward with the idea of rent cap could be that the Senate decide to bring the rent cap condition for the next 5 years into practice for the 300,000 housing units from the housing companies. So this and a second forward strategy for Berlin's political parties in the red-green coalition could be to support the campaign for a nationwide rent freeze law, and there's already a rent stop campaign supported by trade unions, the German. There's already a rent stop campaign supported by trade unions, the German Tenant Association, and many social initiatives and small tenant groups, and it could be a good way to support as parties in Berlin such a campaign. And for the grassroots movement in Berlin, I see two aspects changing with a decision in Karlsruhe, and the first effect is quite visible, or was quite visible at the last weekend, that the initiative Expropriate Deutsche Wohnen und Co. Has it much easier to collect the signatures for their campaign, and the basic argument is quite of the judges in Karlsruhe demonstrate that a legal regulation of rent prices is not possible, and therefore our proposal to socialized to expropriate private landlords and to socialize the housing stock into a non-profit management is the best and only way. And this seems this argumentation seems to be a good working one. And I heard that in at the last weekend some 10,000 additional subscription were collected by the campaign, and that people joined the activist group to collect the signatures during the last day, so that this will be having an kind of mobilizing effect. And it was quite visible in the evening night of the day when the judges in Karlsruhe decided, when at 6 p.m. more than 20,000 people joined a spontaneous organized demonstration in Berlin against this decision, but also with a visible claim to support this expropriation campaign and the claim to implement a nationwide rent stop at least. But a second effect on the movements I see also in the challenge to deal with a kind of shifting scales of the policy level. So most of the tenant organizations are local based in specific neighborhoods and organized in specific places in Berlin, and they mobilized on a local level on the streets in Berlin to address politicians in Berlin so far. So, and now there is a challenge to bring up the claims and the demands from this local organized protest on the federal level, on the national level. So that means that the housing activists and then the grassroots tenant organizations are confronted with a challenge to address their claims to another political level and to bring their protests and their voices into the national policy discussions in Berlin. And I'm sozusagen not sure that this will work so easy because many structures, many personal relations by housing political activists in Berlin are oriented during the last 10 years on this local level. And they had a lot of expertise to understand who are the experts we need to support our claims and what will be the good way to push politicians in Berlin to support their claims and demand, and it will be interesting to see how they will solve this problem or will find solutions for this challenge of upscaling the political arena.
We hear the struggle continues, and it's going to be interesting to see how the movement will unfold and develop. In the next week or so, we hopefully can follow up also with a short episode on the Deutsche Wohnen and Co. Enteignen. But for now, we would really like to say thank you very much, André.
Thanks to you for listening.
For more information, visit our website urbanpolitical.podigy.io.
Please subscribe and follow us on Twitter.